It is May 23, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. From our friends at Cboe Global Markets, the Cboe's Options Institute recently became a sponsor of the Big Shoulders Fund's Stock Market Program, which provides the opportunity for 8th grade students to learn about the financial markets, personal savings and investing concepts, and careers within the financial industry. This interactive learning project is taught by volunteer teachers, including professionals from the financial industry, with an interest in sharing their expertise and mentoring talented and committed children who otherwise would not have the benefit of being exposed to such concepts. Significantly, students in the program are able to build a virtual portfolio tied to actual financial incentives for their school, benefiting both the school and the students. For more than 35 years, Big Shoulders Fund has helped Chicago's children in need achieve their dreams through access to a quality, values-based education. Earlier this month, Big Shoulders Fund held a capstone event for the stock market program. Students participated in a mock investors meeting, heard from industry professionals about careers in finance and planning for the future, and also marked the occasion with a trophy ceremony. Gina Di Ramo, head of the Options Institute at Cboe, states, "The Options Institute believes experiential learning transforms both students and teachers alike. When the team at the Big Shoulders Fund Stock Market Program invited us to sponsor, teach, and engage with their community of 8th grade students, we were thrilled to say yes and get started. By introducing students to financial concepts and career possibilities early, we hope to nurture their interests, empowering them to explore and leverage their many talents in a supportive, structured environment." FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan opened the FIA Forum in Brussels with comments titled, "Keeping Derivatives Markets Open and Safe for the Real Economy." In his comments, he reminded everyone of why our markets exist in the first place. He said, "Our markets allow everyday businesses to hedge risk and free up capital for investments in jobs and equipment. Our markets also discover prices for these businesses, offering transparency into what's happening in the broader economy, as well as specific industries. Even companies that do not use our markets benefit from prices discovered on our markets, whether that's through mortgage interest rates, the price of food and gasoline, or even the price of a carbon offset." In case you missed it, I did. Here is Walt's commentary in FIA Market Voice titled "Viewpoint: Why Price Discovery Matters to Everyone." There's a link in today's newsletter. The SEC Historical Society shared on LinkedIn today that this week in 1969, broker Donaldson, Lofgren, and Jeanette, aware of major shift in the forces influencing equity markets, filed for an IPO despite a NYSE rule against public company membership. With many broker-dealers starved for cash, the NYSE changed its rule, touching off a period of modernization. ADM announced an agreement to acquire DCA Finance BV, a global leader in human and animal nutrition, subject to regulatory approvals. In 2011, on my trip to IDX, I traveled with my son Tim and two associates to Oxford to stay with some friends. It was a lovely college town with lots of history. Now, according to Bloomberg, Oxford has been named as the best place to live and work in the UK. Quote, based on a survey of economic well-being by PricewaterhouseCoopers LLP. Maybe my friends were onto something. Less than half the number of people showed up in 2023 than 2022 for the Bitcoin 2023 conference in Miami, Yahoo Finance reported. Maybe there is something to this crypto winner. Ananda Radhakrishnan has been promoted to Senior Vice President at the American Bankers Association and Executive Director and General Counsel at the ABA Securities Association. He was previously Vice President of Derivatives Policy at the ABA. In case you hadn't noticed it, the media is starting to pay attention to GOP presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. The New York Times has a story titled Vivek Ramaswamy versus the Void. We have had just too much death and dying lately, especially reported here in JLN. Yesterday, one of my favorite actors, Irish actor Ray Stevenson, died at the age of 58. I first noticed Stevenson in his breakout role as Titus Pulo in the HBO series Rome. He later was cast in the Marvel movies as one of Thor's Allies 3, Volstagg. He had a great range as an actor, which I appreciated. The New York Times published an obituary for Buddy Malgas, the world-class sailor from the shores of Geneva Lake, who was a resident of Fontana, Wisconsin, whose village president is the most interesting man in the world, Pat Kenny. Our top three stories in JLN Options yesterday were, if you invested $1,000 in this stock just 10 years ago, you'd be $575,000 richer. Can you guess what it is? The answer might surprise you. The game theory of the debt limit points towards settlement, and the debt ceiling fight bores the stock market. That could change fast. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a sponsored content contribution from our friends at FTSE Russell. Small caps tell us more! The Russell 2000 Index provides live index tracking with historical performance dating back to January 1984. Academic and practitioner research confirms that large cap stocks behave differently to small cap stocks and performance is variable. There are sub-periods during which the Russell 1000 outperforms the Russell 2000 and vice versa. Quarterly performance assessments provide valuable data points for understanding market sentiment and U.S. economic activity. You can read this report by clicking on a link in today's newsletter. We have another video from our FIA Boca coverage. Li Benghong on SGX's acquisitions and partnerships and bringing price discovery to the Asian markets. JLN spoke at FIA Boca 2023 with Li Benghong, head of FICC at SGX Group in Singapore, about its initiatives over the past couple of years, which include the launch of an FXECN in 2022, the acquisition of MaxTrader, and other partnerships. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the New York Post. The headline, Chicago's new mayor, Brandon Johnson, is already bad for business. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange, CME, has been operating in the loop since 1898, just 27 years after the Great Chicago Fire. The exchange was part of the city's rebirth and helped establish Chicago as a financial hub. Now we see the opposite of rebirth with Chicago's population shrinking. And the $66 billion CME may not be around to help with future renewal. The company has rewritten the terms of its lease so that it can leave the city if politicians pursue, quote, ill-conceived, unquote, public policy. My comment. The New York Post regurgitated lots of old news in order to generate a scare headline to dishonor the new Chicago mayor. The CME Group is not going anywhere, though they are strategically positioned to move if they have to, as far as their lease goes. But moving the hundreds of employees out of state, not so much. We need more time to tell whether Mayor Brandon Johnson is bad for business in Chicago, at least more than 1 week. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, Chinese citizens sue Florida over ban that they won't let them buy homes in state. ACLU says law is unconstitutional based on race, ethnicity. DeSantis says law will protect against Beijing's influence. The American Civil Liberties Union sued Florida over a law championed by Governor Ron DeSantis that bars most Chinese citizens from buying homes in the state. The law, set to take effect July 1st, violates the equal protection and due process guarantees under the Constitution by prohibiting land ownership based on race, ethnicity, color, alienage, and national origin, according to the suit filed Monday in federal court in Tallahassee. My comment, talk to the NAACP. They can tell you all about how Florida politicians are treating people of color and other minorities. Here's a story from Bloomberg News. The headline, China's new COVID wave set to see 65 million cases a week. Infections set to rise as immunity from previous illness wanes. Country also set to roll out vaccines that target XBB strain. China is likely to see its COVID-19 wave peaking at about 65 million infections a week toward the end of June, according to a senior health advisor, while authorities rush to bolster their vaccine arsenal to target the latest Omicron variants. XBB has been fueling a resurgence in cases across China since late April and is expected to result in 40 million infections a week by the end of May, before peaking at 65 million a month later. Local media outlet The Paper reported Monday, citing a presentation by respiratory disease specialist Zhong Nanshan at a biotech conference in the southern city of Guangzhou. My comment. Here we go again. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. The headline, emails, chat logs, code, and a notebook. The mountain of FTX evidence. Prosecutors investigating Sam Bankman-Fried, the cryptocurrency exchange's founder, have accumulated more than 6 million pages of documents and other records. Snippets of computer code, more than 6 million pages of emails, Slack messages, and other digital records, and a small black notebook filled with handwritten observations. For months, federal prosecutors building the criminal case against the fallen cryptocurrency executive Sam Bankman-Fried have assembled a vast and unusually varied array of evidence. The documents include crypto transaction logs and encrypted group chats for Mr. Bankman-Fried's collapsed exchange, FTX, as well as strikingly personal reflections recorded by a key witness in the case. My comment. So much for the encrypted group chats. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our most clicked item on Monday was the Facebook post from Sean Smith saying that his brother Kevin passed away this week, a picture of Sean and his two brothers. Condolences to Sean and his family and friends for their loss. Second was the Markets Wiki page for Sean Smith. Third was rigging of LIBOR was state-led from the Times of London. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Financial Times. The headline, IOSCO calls on global regulators to be faster and bolder on crypto markets. Secretary General Martin Maloney urges watchdogs to just push ahead. Regulators should be faster and bolder in taming cryptocurrency markets and should break up companies with intractable conflicts of interest, the global securities watchdog said as it unveiled a blueprint to rein in the wild west of finance. IOSCO, the umbrella group for global market regulators, on Tuesday published guidelines for authorities toughening their standards in wake of a string of industry blow-ups, notably crypto exchange FTX. The 18-point plan covers areas including conflicts of interest, disclosure rules, and governance. The next story is also from the Financial Times. The headline, U.S. Congress, how investment funds became the new insider trading risk. Lawmakers are subject to strict reporting requirements on stocks, but the rules on funds are lighter thanks to decades-old exemption. In March last year, Steve Daines, a Republican politician from Montana, discussed the growing role of India at a hearing of the Senate Banking Committee. He encouraged the U.S. Trade Representative to start negotiating a trade deal with New Delhi and cited a recent visit to encourage exports and meet leading technology companies. What he did not mention is that during the trip in November 2021, on the day he met with the country's Commerce Minister, he also put at least $65,000 into funds that specialize in Indian stocks. He added at least another $50,000 to one of them in early February 2022. And then finally, here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, J.P. Morgan makes one of the biggest bets ever on carbon removal. Bank wants to neutralize its environmental footprint and score new business in burgeoning industry. The biggest U.S. bank is making one of the biggest bets ever to remove carbon from the atmosphere as a way to fight climate change. J.P. Morgan Chase has agreed to invest more than $200 million to purchase credits from several companies in the nascent industry, company officials said. The money and J.P. Morgan's endorsement are a boost to businesses that have removed only small amounts of carbon so far. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.